You're tuned in to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
And hello, good afternoon, and welcome to another stellar edition of The Drive here on Fan Run Radio. Russell Smith punching the time clock on a beautiful Monday afternoon in East Tennessee, where the Volunteers are still alive and kicking, ladies and gentlemen, headed to the Sweet 16, New York City. That's right. Many of you left them for dead, and we've got the receipts. We've got the receipts here on Fan Run Radio. Our crack staff of research assistants have been pouring through the audio of last week's shows. And those of you who did not give this team a chance to still be playing when we reconvene right now, will be held to account. Because if there's one thing that this radio program strives for, Bear, it's accountability.
Yes, sir.
And you are my accountability buddy.
Mm-hmm. It's a reckoning, Russell.
It's a good word for it.
A reckoning.
This is a reckoning. A week of reckoning. Now, Bear, I'm going to be very careful this week, man. I'm going to be very careful. Because you know me.
Yeah.
I'm not superstitious. But I am a little stitious. And I've already seen it from our fan base, the usual, you know, whenever something good happens for Tennessee, for some reason, there's a lot of y'all out there, your initial instinct is to lord it over our enemies. Ah, ha, 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 I told you so. And there's a lot of that going on right now. So I'm going to resist the temptation.
I haven't.
I know you haven't. You learn nothing. I, however, I'm committed to a life of learning.
Oh, no, what do you mean? I said I haven't done anything.
I saw your little message to TJ last night. I saw you being mean. I saw you tempting the wrath of the whatever high atop the thing. I saw it. And listen.
I don't feel like tempting anything.
It takes a lot of restraint for there. I had a couple of tweets loaded up, and then I thought, you know what? No. Against all my instincts, against every instinct in my body, I'm going to take the high road, even though I really hate it. Because I belong on the low road, Bear. You know that's where I belong. That's where I love it.
Low road.
The low road is my place. Those are my people down there. But how
down
many?
In the gutter just, with me.
It every time, man. Every time. Every time. Never learn.
Kentucky Crisis Hotline.
Yes. 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 And I'm not saying it's all our fault. I'm not saying that our online and on-air behavior impact what happens on the court, but maybe it kind of does.
So let me ask you then. So you think that if we had not done the Kentucky Crisis Hotline last year,
we would have gone to the Final Four. We would have won it all.
That Barnes and those guys would have come up with a better plan to contain Hunter Dickinson?
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
I don't buy that, man. Don't feel like I went that far.
I don't know, man. All I know is I'm going to practice some restraint this afternoon. We got a lot of people in here. Marcus Young is here. Chloe Levering's here. Rick Butler of Rocky Top Insider is here for some reason. What's up, Reek? Is your mic on there, buddy? No, it's not on. Hold on. Bear's doing a thing. Can we get Rick mic'd up? Yeah. It's just like like old times, man.
We're having some turn. You got to turn
already,
it on.
Already we're having issues. We've been on the
minutes. Rick. Put it back in there. Turn the thing on.
He can't let it go. Y'all go ahead and take your time. Let me know when you're ready.
Well, you want.
I just want him on the air. I don't care if this isn't Abbey Road. I don't need the Beatles. He can just be on. Nobody can hear you now. Now that's bad. That's bad. Rick, good afternoon. How are you?
Not bad.
It's good to see you, buddy. I can hear you.
Oh, it's good to be here.
You're looking good.
It's good to be on the air.
You're sounding good. Oh, man.
What a weekend it was.
We having a weak stream issue, too? Is that what's going on?
Yeah, I've got like three things going on over here. Okay.
Calm down. You'll be all right, buddy.
Well, don't take cheap shots, man.
One step at a time.
Take your cheap shots.
Don't worry about me. And worry about the stream.
Quit hammering me. It's fixed.
Talk about an overreaction Monday.
The more things change, the more they stay the same, Rick.
Yeah, Rick walks in here and we're at each other's throats again.
Well, I won't. I'm not going to interrupt y'all's show for too long or anything, but you guys have plenty to talk about today. Oh. You have a little bit of basketball. You have a little bit of football with practice starting today. You have baseball. Oh. Well, I'm not sure you want to talk about that right now, but there's a lot going on here on Rocky Top.
Yeah, there's a lot going on, man. You are headed to New York City to cover the basketball team, Madison Square Garden, the big stage for these boys. Rick, I want to get your thoughts on something real quick.
Okay.
This narrative that's out there that just bubbled. I didn't hear anything about it Saturday night. It's so weird. It popped up yesterday.
Yes, it did.
Not Saturday. Not today. It's still going today, but it started yesterday. When Tennessee doesn't even play, and there's all sorts of other great games going on, where did this come from? Because I'll say this, it didn't come from the Duke camp. I went back and watched John Shire's press conference, read some quotes from their players. They were very gracious in the defeat. They know that they got beaten by a better team. That was a 13-point win. It was not a particularly close game. Where did this Tennessee plays dirty narrative come from? Because image this year has been as a primary defensive team. They don't play great on offense, but they're very good defensively. We've not heard dirty.
Sure.
We've not heard dirty from anybody, even the Kentucky fans who complain that, oh, they flop or whatever. It hasn't been dirty until yesterday. What's happening here? It's Gottlieb. It's 40. It's Jay Billis.
It is, isn't it?
What happened?
It's really fascinating.
All the hard fouls were called.
Yeah.
Like, they called the fouls on Uroš. They went back and looked at him at the monitor. It wasn't a flagrant foul. It was a hard. Were they fouls? Yes. Were they hard fouls? Yes. Were they flagrant? Were they dirty? I don't think so. Like, what happened here? What, the last 24 hours, how did Tennessee basketball become the 1990s New York Knicks, the bad boys, the Detroit Pistons? What happened?
It's Pistons comparisons when you look online, right? That's such a great question because I was equally as surprised by it. When I got done with the drive yesterday, I sat down on my couch, ready to just kind of look and see what the sports world were talking about. And that's what it was. It was this narrative that Tennessee's a dirty team. Now, I think when you get to this stage, and maybe you have a moment that was pretty unexpected, right? When you look at public opinion, not many people expected Tennessee to beat Duke. So some people, and especially the ones who maybe picked Duke to beat Tennessee, maybe you're trying to find a narrative to pick. Tennessee was clearly the more physical team in that game. They started it from the jump. Juroš Plavšić getting those first two fouls, man, at the end of the day, I didn't think that was that bad of a thing just because that was such a tone setter. Now, some people went ran with that and kind of, you know, really extended it and exaggerated a good bit to and exaggerated it a good bit all the way to, you know, Tennessee's a dirty team. But I don't know where that narrative came from because it's not true. Tennessee did not play a dirty game if you go back and look at it. Not at all. But were they the more aggressive team? Yes. Were they the more physical team? Yes. And again, I thought they did a good job of setting the tone, but dirty? I don't know about that.
Yeah, I mean, I hear some people saying, well, it's you didn't have them in your bracket or like, I don't.
I feel like
there's something else going on there.
And it really didn't sit right with me considering who we were playing and some of the guys that have played, Bobby Hurley, Grayson Allen, immediately come to mind. I mean, especially Allen. I mean, you can take your pick. There's pictures all over the internet of like that guy like tripping people like doing like
stomping, kicking,
World Wrestling
crying.
Federation yeah. type moves,
completely unnecessary stuff.
Yeah,
and, like I, that's fine. Like I don't care about that. I if Tennessee were playing dirty, and there's an edge there, and Uroš walks up to the line a couple times, and he's crossed the line a couple of times, and
sure.
He's gotten caught, and he's gotten teed up. He's gotten teed up for stuff that he probably shouldn't have when he did the too small thing at A&M. And it's like, come on, man, that's just a reputation foul.
Yeah.
So that's out there. Are we worried that this storyline will be pushed all week long and that we get up there to New York City and the officials are wary of Tennessee's reputation, and they call the game tighter, which favors Florida Atlantic.
That's my big fear. What about you, Rick?
I think that that could be a reality, but it doesn't necessarily worry me too much. And I get that that might be a point from the talking heads and sports radio and TV throughout the week and so. But as far as the game goes, I do think that this can still be managed in the way that it has been managed. You know, it's interesting, though, from a player's perspective, I think they understood coming out of the game that that was one of the more physical games. Just talking to Jonas Adu in the locker room, he said that, yeah, I mean, after some of those first few plays, we felt like we were intimidating them. We felt like they were a little bit intimidated of us. I'm pretty sure Jonas Adu was the one who kind of connected with Filipowski and gave him that shiner underneath his eye.
He busted him wide open. I think that more because the fouls, the early fouls on Plasevich, they were kind of whatever that was. You know, I thought that the Duke players flopped on both of them. But the one that I thought intimidated him was the Adu play where it was like, that wasn't a foul.
Yeah, I mean, that was completely inadvertent.
Sure.
Like that was a freak accident.
It was. It was just guys going for the rebound. And I think maybe that's the kind of thing that people are looking at and they're saying, oh, look at Tennessee. They're, you know, look at them throwing elbows on rebounds, so on and so forth. Not to me, though. To me, I did not see that narrative.
No, I mean, they're physical, and I think they sent Urosh in there with the directive to send a message, and I think they're fine with a couple of hard fouls called against him early to set a tone, and I think Tennessee fans kind of like that. But this, all of a sudden, Urosh's Lambeer and Rick Mahorn rolled up into one with a little side of Oakley is, come on, and it's a little bit much. Rick Barnes was asked about this today. It was the first question at his press conference. Here's Rick Barnes talking about this narrative all of a sudden that Tennessee is a dirty team.
Really, I don't put any thought into it. I haven't heard, not really matter. I think playing good, hard basketball is, you know, something nice to look at. But I know our guys played hard. I know Duke played hard, too. And again, I'm on the rules committee, and the referees did what they thought was right, and I thought they officiated the game the way they felt it went. And but from my perspective, I didn't see anything dirty from either team. Physicality, we felt we needed to start the game and try to get physical because we played against post players that are very physical, and we thought it was important that we got off to a good start.
He's delivered that, hasn't he?
He's done a good job, yeah. I thought he was, again, a little bit amped up, and after watching the tape, the first two fouls, it wasn't flagrant, which at the time, we just wanted to play basketball, but that's who he is, that's his emotion with it, we need him. And I've said all year long, we need all these guys, but he certainly has done what we've asked him to do.
We spent 3 hours Saturday breaking down Tennessee's win over Duke. It was a monumental game. I'm sure we'll chat a little bit about it here. I don't have too many new thoughts on it. I did watch it, the game, twice yesterday, as well as watching it on Saturday. So
you watched it twice yesterday?
Yeah.
I watched it once. I mean, I just wanted to watch it again. From start to finish, we throttled them pretty much.
It was a good game, man. I'm a little bit hesitant to announce that they've arrived. I'm very concerned about Florida Atlantic. I think they're a good team. I think they're underseeded. I think they're going to give Tennessee a lot of problems. I want to delve into the matchup as we go along. Of course, we've got a couple of days to get you ready for that one. Thursday night, 9 p.m. tip with a trip to the Elite Eight on the line. And again, you get a 9 seed in your Sweet 16 game, even if they are underseeded a little bit. I mean, maybe they should be a 7 or 8. You get a 3 seed going against a 7 seed on the other side of the bracket. So there's a, you know, a pretty good chance for a decent matchup there. And Tennessee, the seas have parted here for the Volunteers. They've gotten good matchups. They've gotten good luck. They've gotten help from the other teams around them. It is an excellent opportunity. I think beating Duke is a program-defining moment for Rick Barnes. I think a lot of that can be undone if they lose Thursday night. I think that Thursday, I'm not going to call it a must-win game, but it's a game he really, really, really needs to win and can sort of reset the narrative around him as a coach that doesn't get it done in the NCAA tournament. If you lose to a Florida Atlantic, a 9-seed Florida Atlantic, people are still going to have those opinions about you. So it's a big game from that perspective.
They're underseeded, man.
If that, but again, how underseeded? Should they be an 8? Should they be a 7? Maybe a 6? Like 6 is stretching it, right?
Well, I don't know. I mean, they're what, 24th in KenPom and I think top 15 in the net. They're really deceptive.
Okay. So if you want to sit here and tell me they should be a 6-seed, that's fine. You're still a 4. And some people say you should be a 3. This is a game you should win. It's a game you're favored in. It's a game you should win. Now, if you go up against K-State in the Elite Eight and you lose to them and they're a 3-seed, well, you can say, okay, you lost to a higher seed. Whatever. We'll cross that bridge when we come to it, man. It's a big game. Rick Barnes needs to win this thing, man. Nobody's calling for his head if he doesn't or anything like that. I feel like Tennessee's already accomplished a lot to get this far without Zakai Ziegler. I feel like it's a pretty good season so far. They got a chance to make it a great season with one more win.
Yeah, I mean, especially everything that happened in February and just translated into the end of the season. For them to be at this point right now, it's pretty remarkable. And like you said, the opportunity is open right now.
Rick, good to see you, my friend. I know you got to take off. You're New York City bound.
That's correct.
Be careful.
The Big Apple.
You hunt country bumpkins. You and Shumpert heading up to the big city there. Don't let any of those Yankees take advantage of you.
That's right. Me and Ryan,
we'll look out for the Shump.
Heading up like Michael Scott. We're going to go get us a New York slice at Sbarro. Should be fun.
Hand on your wallet in the front pocket.
Yes.
You're going to go to New York City, and you're going to Sbarro to get a
slice.
He
hasn't seen The Office. He doesn't get the reference.
I found from the laughs over here at the table that it was well received.
That's it.
Should be fun. Thanks for having me on, though.
Thank you, Rick. Stay tuned, folks. When we come back, as promised, those who doubted will be held to account. We have pulled the tape. We've spent hours rummaging through the files of Fan Run Radio, all the venom, all the vitriol, all the nonsense that was spewed on these airwaves last week. Wait till you hear some of the highlights, folks. It was a doozy. Stay with us. The drive continues. More Fan Run Radio coming up. Fan Run Radio, the drive continues. Russell Bear, Marcus Young with you. Chloe Levering helping out here in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Thanks to everybody who came out to Craven Wings on Saturday. That was a great time.
It was a lot of fun, man.
High fives were exchanged, fist bumps, hugs, tears were shed. It was a great moment. Now, here's the question.
I saw the video.
Yeah, at the end, that was great, man. Here's the question. They want to do it again. Craven wants to do it again. And we walked through this scenario. We did some online sales and marketing planning, on-air sales and marketing planning with everybody last week. We're going to do it again, I guess. The question last week was, do we do Thursday night Louisiana at 9:40 p.m. at Craven Wings, or should we wait for the weekend? And we decided we should wait for the weekend because it was a bigger game, better opponent. Middle of the day, people didn't have to work the next day. The tip-off wasn't super late, and it was obviously the right decision. But now it gets a little more difficult, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because the tip-off's a little earlier at 9 p.m. It's still late, but not terribly late. Should we go ahead and take the bird in hand? Mm-hmm. Do the Thursday night watch party at 9 p.m., or should we roll the dice and potentially have no watch party?
That's what we did last week, man.
Or we potentially have a watch party
to go to
with
the
Final Four trip on the line. You're staunchly in the Saturday camp.
Yeah, because I'm not superstitious, but it's like you said, we're a little stitious here on the drive. I think we ought to keep everything the same. It's same as last week. Like exactly the same.
Marcus?
Well, if we keep it exactly the same, then I will work during that game and hear everybody cheering.
That's fine.
Okay. I mean, if it gets us the win, then I'll do that. I'll risk not watching the game.
Yeah, nobody cares what your experience is.
Mm-hmm. You can take Friday off.
Okay. We take Friday off.
as you did last week.
Chloe, do you have any thoughts on this Thursday versus
she's got a
Saturday watch party thing?
Her mic's not on.
You got to flip the
switch
on top of it, on top of the,
both
the actual microphone. There you go.
There you go.
Okay. Okay. I am superstitious.
You are?
Yeah.
Welcome to the club.
Well, I don't know if it's super. I have really bad OCD, so.
So do I. Welcome.
It should stay the same.
You're amongst friends.
How does your OCD manifest? Do you have, like, a side of your body that has to dominate the other side?
No. Like, I have to do things in specific numbers, and.
Yeah. What's your number?
4. I don't like 3.
You don't like 3?
I don't like 9. I don't like doubles of 3, 6, 9.
See?
Yeah.
I don't
so,
like Marcus.
Are doubles of 8, like, or is 4,
yeah, that's
8,
okay.
16,
4, 8,
20,
16.
Like, those are good?
Yeah, those are good. And it's a lot darker stuff that I won't get into right now. But.
Oh, we'll talk about on the break.
Okay.
Hold on.
What?
She doesn't like the number 3, and your response is, I don't like Marcus?
That's how mine manifests itself. Okay.
So. That's strange. I don't think that's OCD. I just think that's general psychopathy.
But I think it should stay the same just because of that.
Okay. All right.
All right.
We're pretty much all in agreement here for Saturday. Let me know your thoughts on Facebook or Twitter. I'm kind of leaning towards Saturday as well. 865-546-8200, your number to get on the Big Orange Phillies phone lines, 546-8200. Tennessee plays Thursday night against Florida Atlantic. Bear, how important is Thursday night? Not just for this team, for this season, for the fan base, but for Rick Barnes' legacy to, as you know, I feel like beating Duke was big. I mean, that kind of
huge.
That was a major step for him, but I feel like he can also take a step back by losing to a lower seeded mid major type team in the Sweet 16.
I think that some of the usual suspects of which we're probably going to hear from very soon. Would react that way. To me, this season is not only a success, but getting to the Sweet 16 without one of your best players and your starting point guard is just unreal. I realized the bracket had opened up. That was we took out Duke, which was the hottest team in the tournament. That's what all the talking heads said. They were Final Four bound. But yeah, it was a huge moment for him and the program. Thursday night, to me, I think obviously he would equal Bruce's record at Tennessee. And, I mean, if you look at the numbers, if he wins Thursday night, you can put that one to rest. Barnes would be the best coach in Tennessee basketball history by the numbers.
I'll just point out that the Pearl people, well, which, you know, Bruce really covered himself in glory the other night, blow a 10-point lead. You make 4 field goals in the entire second half. I mean, come on. This is your guy.
Is that all they made?
4 field goals. They had 1 made field goal with like 8 minutes to go in the game. In the half.
In
the half.
In 20 minutes?
Yes. Yes. And 2 of those were at the end when the game was decided.
Wow. And not only that, but their Houston's best 2 backcourt guards were in foul trouble and were on the bench. So they got blown out by their backups.
But those people would say, the Bruceifarians would say that he's been to a Final Four at Auburn.
Yeah, with what, like 2 lottery picks on that team?
Just think about this, though.
You have 2.
I don't think so. I don't think he had any.
Yeah, he did.
Who?
Wait a minute.
Those 2 guards were really good. Jared Harper and was it Brown and Cody, Bryce Brown, maybe?
Yeah.
I mean,
he's got a Final Four. Barnes has got a Final Four.
Yeah.
Not here.
He had 2 lottery picks last year.
Yeah. But not, I mean.
Didn't really go very far with them.
All I know is before Barnes got here, we've talked about it before, Tennessee had been ranked in the top 5 17 times in the history of the program. Since Barnes has been here, we've been ranked in the top 5 18 times.
Well, I do think if he can win Thursday night and take that next step, and you know, nobody's going to be having any real criticism if Tennessee goes to an Elite Eight. And at that point, I think it'll validate a lot of things. It'll, you know, just the way he's built this program And the way everybody's still searching for, how do we handle the portal? How do we handle NIL in recruiting? Do we go five stars? Do we go? And I really think we're starting to see for Barnes, for whatever reason, the five-star one-and-dones are not helping him very much. His luck in the portal has been terrible.
Abysmal.
I just think he's at his best, and his best way to approach building this program for the rest of his time here is to look for the Grants, the Admirals, the Bowdens, the Meshacks, the Awakas, the Zieglers, the three-star, four-star guys that maybe aren't one-and-done type guys, but are going to stay here for 3 or 4 years and build your core around them. Those are the guys that he's done best with and that have been his best players. And I think they've got some of those guys coming in next year. Freddie Buckets and Estrella are pretty highly touted. They're 4 stars. They're not 5 stars. But I think he's just got to continue to find his guys that are going to stay, that are going to develop, and that are going to win. You got something. I mean, like Kentucky – their conversation, I've seen some of it online. It's like, well, he did the 5-star thing. That kind of faded out. He did the portal thing. That hasn't worked out for him. Now he's going back to the 5-star thing. They're bringing 4 of the top 10 players in the country next year. They'll probably be pretty good again, but who knows? Maybe they won't. I don't know. I don't detect a ton of confidence from their fan base that things are going to turn around from them. But for Tennessee's standpoint, it feels like, you're making a run right now, and I think you're going to have a very similar team next year. And that might be frustrating for some, but does anybody sitting around this table not think that Tennessee is going to be a top 25 basketball team back in the NCAA tournament with good players, good kids that represent the school well, all that stuff next year? I don't. I think it's very solid. I think it's very solid, Tennessee's past, present, and future under Rick Barnes. But there are some naysayers out there. You've heard them. Perhaps we'll hear from some today. We heard from them last week. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Not everybody expressed a great deal of confidence that Tennessee would still be playing this afternoon. A lot of y'all thought we'd be coming on the air, and now listen, man, I was not just brimming with confidence. I'm not going to sit here and say that I saw it coming, but some of y'all were insufferable last week. Some of y'all made last week's shows hard to do at times, and you know who you are. And if you aren't one of them, you know who they are. And if you've forgotten, here's a little refresher, just some of the highlights or lowlights, depending on how you look at it. The cold takes will be exposed this afternoon.
I enjoy all the let's pretend stuff going on by predicting Tennessee to win and Trey Walsh predicting Tennessee to win. And everybody knows what's going to happen. Duke will kick their butt. You know it. I know it.
You don't know that, man.
Anybody knows basketball knows it. After you watch that garbage we saw on TV last night, there's good high school teams to beat Tennessee last night.
Every time Rick Bruins gets off the bench and goes to the locker room, I'm waiting for you and Jimmy Dykes to throw rose petals at his feet.
We are absolutely crazy as a fan base if we expect a program as unsupported by the fans and with no financial support and with no facilities and as Tennessee does to make Sweet 16, you know, once in every 4 years. That's that once in every 2 years, whatever. That's too much to ask. We should just be happy that we make the tournament. I mean, we don't have it all. It's not like we have an overpaid coach that's the park break of basketball. It's not like we have, you know, okay. It's not like 2 or 3 teams beat us this year and we were good enough that got them in the tournament when they probably shouldn't have been there. So, you know, we're not that good. We're not a good program, you know.
We're not a good program.
If we got rid of our coach, he'd probably go somewhere else and make more money and be more successful. It's just here, and it's Tennessee, and It's the bad draws. It's the Dukes. It's the Michigan. It's all that. It's not really Barnes' fault. Barnes is a good guy. We're lucky to have him.
Rick Barnes has never won as an underdog in NCAA tournament. You know what Tennessee's offense looks like in basketball?
Oh, God.
Tennessee football will get more behind center.
God.
What are you doing?
Stop it. What are you doing, man?
It's awful to watch. It's garbage basketball.
If we beat Duke this year, okay?
Okay.
For the Elite Eight watch party, I'm willing to get in the dunk tank. We get a dunk tank at the watch party, and you can have all the damn people going against the sheep. You can have all the sheep at the watch party dunk me in the tank over and over and over. But I don't think it's going to happen. I wouldn't say that. But if it does, I'm more than willing to do it.
I want them to force Rick Barnes to retire. I want them to tell him it's time to move on.
What if he says no? You owe him a $25 million buyout.
Then you got to keep him around, and that sucks.
Well, yeah. They still ain't played BJ. I mean, they're still in there. They can't play defense, little crap. You know, that guy down at Auburn, BJ's better than them. He had a good game last night. Davison, their backup point guard. It's just amazing to me. They've had a year to rectify the situation and then do it. Just make excuses. You know, he's got an excuse now. He's got Ziegler out, so he'll use that. Probably give him there. I think didn't he collect about a $200,000 raise from last night? This senior class has won two NCAA tournament games. That's why I'll be damn glad when they're gone.
Yep, those are our people. I mean, and it went on. Like eventually we just had to stop looking because there's so much of this out there. But that's just some of the highlights. The worst stuff is out there. I like, the Davidson kid from Auburn. He's playing at home.
Did he make one of those four field goals in the second half?
I don't know, but they ain't playing anymore.
Uh-uh.
Wow. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, we had to cut it off at, I didn't even include our coworkers.
And we got Polish Joe over there. He says he'll jump in the – I guess we got to go find a dunk tank for Saturday.
What did he call Coach Bart? Rick Bruins?
Rick Bruins.
Rose petals.
I think the ultimate thing that we have to realize is that there are certain people who are very sad about what happened in Birmingham to Bruce Pearl, because he's probably home now getting – should I do it? He's probably home getting smashed because he couldn't win, couldn't beat Houston.
Smashed! He's probably home, Bear, getting smashed.
Thank you.
Smashed!
You gotta say it like you mean it.
Some reaction for the first time. Chloe is getting a lot of reaction today on the interwebs, Bear. I'm getting feedback from multiple sources.
About Chloe?
Yeah. They want to know more about the darker stuff.
I don't think you really understand our audience, Chloe. They want
to
hear it.
Yeah. You don't get to just say there are some darker things and then just leave it alone.
Well, if you've ever had OCD, you know, like the intrusive
Do you wash
thoughts.
Your hands over and over and over?
It's nothing with cleanliness, no.
Intrusive thoughts like?
Like, what if I stuck my hand down the garbage disposal? What would happen?
With it on?
Yeah, with it on.
You think about that?
It'd mangle your fingers.
Yeah, but it's like.
You think about doing it?
It's like you don't stop thinking about it, and yeah. No, it gets really bad. It's
really
serious. It's not just
I have thoughts like that. Like
you have thoughts where – do you have thoughts that you know – this is some of my darker stuff. Thoughts that you know you don't believe. Awful
yes.
things that you know you don't think, but they just come in your head, and you're like, oh, get out, get out, get
yeah,
out,
exactly.
awful thing.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm so glad I'm not the only one.
Like, I'm on medication for it.
Yeah.
It helps a lot.
Yeah.
If anyone has these thoughts and you're not on medication.
I'm on medication as well.
Yeah. Meds work.
I mean, not for OCD, but.
Well.
Alex says, did Chloe use black magic to put us as a four seed?
Oh, yeah, number four.
Jason says, Chloe is the female version of Marcus. Welcome to the show.
Hmm. Wait, what?
What?
See? See? He's right. Oh, my God. We've got She Marcus in here with us.
She doesn't talk like this. My name's Chloe.
865-546-8200. I mean, these people. You think we'll hear from them today? You think voluntary reaction people were.
Buddy.
We welcome you back into the fold. It's okay. Yeah. You're a Tennessee fan. You're crazy. You're not a true Tennessee fan if you're not crazy. You haven't been following it that long if you're not crazy. If you've been following it for as long as Bear and I, you can't help but be a little nuts.
Did you, were you up or did you happen to listen to the morning show?
Today?
Yeah.
No, I did not. What was their tone?
They were pretty positive. Phil called in to eat crow and then absolutely did not. He kind of turned it around and said something about.
Oh, where's this been all year?
The $6 million man is what he's supposed to be doing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Phil's really hung up on the fact that
so worried about the money.
Yeah.
The monopoly money over that there.
Has nothing to do with his money. Yeah. They were pretty excited this morning.
Can I give you a...
I mean, Houston was waxing poetic about his days as a... Washing the Lady Vols.
Houston has been going jocks. Back to...
What?
Excuse me?
Well, like their uniforms, all that stuff. He was like the manager.
I don't think the Lady Vols wear jocks, Bear. I'm no anatomy expert, but I don't...
Whatever it is they wear. Like their uniforms.
Yeah, that's what they're called, uniforms. Yes. They don't have a separate name for women's uniforms. They're still uniforms.
I don't mean that as a sexist comment.
You know he does. I mean, he's an LVFL.
He's been playing that card a lot.
Yeah. Oh, he loves talking about those days.
He had to go there when Gottlieb got onto him last night. I saw that. Gottlieb told him he didn't know basketball.
There was a Gottlieb tweet about how he's like, I don't like the kicking from Grayson Allen, but I love how hard he plays, like from back in 2016.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I think Miller retweeted it and was like, that's interesting.
Oh, well, man, sure. Our fan base, they'll go back and find those receipts.
Well, yeah. It's not hard with it. I mean, Gottlieb's just, he's just such a weasel.
Takes about 2 seconds till somebody brings up the credit card thing, which I think is kind of like low hanging fruit. Like, that's pretty easy, but.
I don't know, man. If you act the way Gottlieb does, you got to think that's coming.
Yeah.
Like, if I was a thief the way Gottlieb was, I probably wouldn't go at people as hard as I did. But I'm not a thief like Gottlieb.
Who are you a thief like?
I don't know.
Stay with us. The Drive continues. It's Fan Run Radio. Go to the phone lines when we continue next on The Drive. Fan Run Radio, The Drive continues. 865-546-8200. Your number to get on board, 546-8200. If you want to jump on the Big Orange Phillies phone lines as Tennessee is headed back to the Sweet 16 for, I believe, the 7th time in my basketball lifetime.
Well, 7th time since 2000.
Yeah.
I guess I didn't make it before then.
I don't think so.
Uh-uh.
I don't think so.
Well, back in the Ernie Burney years, VMI put us out. Syracuse did 1 year, too, I think. That was Jim Boeheim's first year.
Only once has Tennessee won in these – 1-6 in these sweets – or 1-5, I guess, in these Sweet 16 matchups.
Should be 2-4, though. I got flopped. A Michigan guy. Our guy Jarnell. Jarnell probably should have dissed it to Jordy Mack. Not that I want to relitigate that whole thing.
Your brother Billy, whatever happened there. Oh, the North Carolina one in 2000 is the one that really sticks in my craw. Tennessee outplayed them. I feel like they were a great team.
You know what? That one doesn't bother me as much, and I think it's because I was actually working that night. It was back when I was still bartending / bouncing. at a place here in town, and we had a huge fight at halftime, and I had to – like, I didn't see the second half of that game. So it's never really bothered me.
Yeah, I saw it. It bothers me. It's you know, 23 years later, still gets me redneck mad. The last one is the worst of them all. The Grant and Admiral team, I mean, going to overtime, Barnes sitting Grant for the first minute of that overtime while Purdue runs away from us. The kick out, the phantom foul call, the, like, let's inbounds after that to half court, then call a timeout. Just everything that went wrong, that's the worst. Who would we have played in the Elite Eight that year?
I think, was it Virginia? Yeah. Because I'm pretty sure it was Virginia. That was the year Virginia won the national championship. It had been like the Spider-Man meme. I don't know. We had a really good offense.
Oh, yeah. It would not have been the Spider-Man meme. Tennessee was a top five national offense that year. The defense was way down.
Suspect.
This year's different.
Doing it with offense.
Let's get TJ the Kentucky fan in here. Good afternoon, TJ. You're on the drive. It's Fan Run Radio.
Hey, what's up, buddy? How you doing, man?
TJ, we're doing all right. Condolences, my friend.
Yeah.
Tough, you know, one.
Six and Kentucky loss. That's a double punch to the gut. Bear, I enjoyed your evil laugh. That was pretty funny.
There was nothing evil about it.
But good luck the rest of the way. You know, that's what March is. You know, I've listened to Voluntary Reaction a lot this year, and the games that you guys have lost, you have mentioned going cold, cold shooting. And, you know, when two of your top three scorers go 1 for 22, you ain't going to beat anybody, especially in March, and that's what happened. Cold shooting got us. And
that's what happened to Tennessee last year, 1 of 18.
Yeah. I mean, Toppin score yesterday, one?
I think he had
1 point.
He had 2 points because he had a dunk and 4 boards and 4 blocks or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, and
he had
2 fouls.
Points. But yeah, man, cold shooting, it's March. And, you know, I really don't think anybody's coming back except for maybe Reeves, because the guys coming in next year are more of the athletic guys that Cal is used to. For some reason, he just can't coach the 3 and 4 year guys. He has to have his freshmen.
He's like the anti-Rick Barnes.
Yeah, complete opposite, really.
It's weird.
I know Rick Barnes, he's awesome with, you know, the 3 stars and 4 stars and guys who stay there for – look at Vescovi. I mean, he's been there for, what, 4 years, 5 years now?
4 years.
And, I mean, he's one of the best shooting guards in the league. And, you know, it stands true. The 5 teams who are top 25 in the KenPom in defense and offense are still in the tournament. Mm. And I think the last 14, 15 years, the team who's won the national championship has been top 25 in defense and offense efficiency. So...
yeah, that's interesting, isn't it? And the team Tennessee's playing this week is 30th in offense, 36th in defense. So they're not top 20, but they're pretty close. Now, you'd have to figure in the quality of the competition and Conference USA that they've played to all of that as well. But
yeah, they're really balanced.
Yeah.
Pretty solid on both ends. They're quick.
Well, I'll say this. I'm at a crossroads. There was a lot of stuff unleashed today from Kentucky media talking about strife in the locker room with this team, Wheeler and Oscar and Head Button and all this stuff. And
juicy.
With the guys coming in next year that Cal has, he better get to an Elite Eight next year, or that lifetime contract, he can shove it up his butt. Good luck the rest of the way, guys.
Thank you, TJ. Kentucky fans on the brink this afternoon.
I'm here for it.
John Calipari, I tell you what, man, that Noel kid from Kansas State, whew, what a player. And he's only like 5'8". Part of me is dreading potentially seeing him Saturday. Part of me is also wondering, can Ziegler be that guy eventually? Undersized, going to have to improve the shot a little bit. I think Noel's probably a little bit more athletic. That little guy can get up, man.
It's looking zigs.
They were bombing in some threes. You talk about clutch shot making. That's another thing, takeaway. And I'm reminded, like, every March, so much of it is just making shots. Do you hit the open shot or not? Look at us.
Yeah.
Look at Kamwa.
Yeah.
If he doesn't hit all those shots down the stretch, and that's a tight game, you don't know. Like, we might be going home.
We're joking around today, probably.
It's the thing that stuck out to me. Like, I remember it from our last Elite Eight run in particular. Like, my memories of those two games, the Sweet 16, the Elite Eight game against Ohio State, Michigan State, was just Tennessee was just bombing in threes. Chisholm, JP, Hobson, like, we just couldn't miss. It felt like we were shooting 70% from three-point range in both games.
Yeah.
And we barely won the first one and barely lost the second one. And you have to make shots. And that's we'll get into this here in hour number two. There's some reasons I feel optimistic about Florida Atlantic. There's a lot of reasons I feel optimistic. On paper, this is a game Tennessee should win. There's some reasons I feel pessimistic about it. And probably the biggest fear, I think we all have it in the dark part of your mind, Chloe. Like, I think we all are worried that it is another 1 of 18 around the corner. We go up to New York, bright lights. Everybody's pulling for the underdog, Florida Atlantic.
Never really shot good in the
refs
garden.
Refs calling the game a little bit tighter, a little bit of foul trouble. Yeah, all of a sudden, tighten up a little bit. 9 o'clock tip. Guy's been sitting around the hotel all day long. Get out there and just nothing falls. That's the fear.
It could definitely happen.
So we'll go through that, and we'll try and focus on some of the positive for you as well, because there are a lot of positives for Tennessee. Stay with us. It is The Drive. Fan Run Radio. Marcus Young has the top four at four. When we continue, right after this, stay tuned. The Drive continues right here on Fan Run Radio.